If you could be a rocket ship, what kind of rocket ship would you be?
There's different types.
I don't know.
Whatever it is, it's dildo shaped. Low drag and high speed.
Speed is life. Okay, we got that going. That sounds okay to me. So, of course, I didn't do what I was supposed to do.
Aw, snap.
Let's see.
You need a checklist, son.
Yeah, but I went out of order. Let's try that.
The machine is ever turning, ever hungry. How do you avoid being eaten? How do you avoid drifting into becoming another cog? Can you escape the machine? Should you try, or is it impossible? Pondering these questions and more on the Mention the Machine.
Oh damn, it's episode 65. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen and others. Joel, you got a question this week? Because I don't really. I got one if you want me to go with it.
I thought you didn't have one.
I said I got one that I did, but not really. It's the one that I remember is on my list. I forgot to bring my list out, but...
Now who needs a checklist?
Me. That's why I have a fucking notebook with checklists in it, but I didn't bring the notebook.
I'll let you use your question.
All right. If you had to restart your life over, where would you begin? Like, say you were wiped out, homeless shelter.
Oh, not old age.
Not old age, nah. Like,
no, I said what age. I thought you meant like what age when I started.
Oh, no.
So if I was wiped out completely.
You think you'd build back up?
Of course I could.
Would you do it in the same place, same city? Would you change your goals?
I might move to Ohio. It's a little bit cheaper.
How do they deal with the homeless over there? What kind of steps would you take?
Well, first, I got to get a shit job so I can make some money.
Mm-hmm.
Am I, like, debt-free, or am I in debt and I'm starting over?
Let's say that you just have no... You have no resources. No. You're at zero.
So, you, but I don't owe anybody, though.
No.
Okay. That's better.
You owe the Lord for another day.
Well, I'd go find the YMCA, one of those group homes that you could stay in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd find myself a McShit job. Work that McShit job, get some tech, and I'd probably do some handyman work. I'd go find somebody to be a day laborer, make enough money to buy some equipment, do my own day labor.
How far would you build back up?
Well, I'd get to the day labor to the point where I could actually have some money and buy some tech and then get back in the tech business. But so I'd have the business being ran by somebody else.
So you'd basically get back into a similar situation that you already were, and you'd take a similar path.
Yeah, but I'd have a side business that's being ran by somebody I trust to make some residual income. And then I'd probably change seconds if I could, you know, get a laundromat, maybe get some storage.
So what you're saying is if you had to start from being a zero, you'd be more of a hustler than you are now.
Yes.
So is it the chain of debt that's keeping you from hustling?
No, it's just the fact that it's like, at this point, there's almost no point in hustling.
Because you won already?
Yeah, I have the house, I got the car, like...
Yeah, we've been watching the seasons of Fargo, and it's like the organized crime stuff, and the guy at one point... His son says to him, like, you can't have both security and seek out more power at the same time. Like, if you're seeking out more power, you're not going to have as secure of an organization, of a situation. And I guess it's kind of like that. You're secure, so why seek out more power?
Exactly. I just want a little bit more. I want to stay under the radar. I don't want to make any waves. So I'm listening to that strategy book you mentioned.
Yeah.
And they talk about the prisoner's dilemma, and it relates to pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do in the market? And they're talking about if you sell the same exact thing. Don't sell the same exact thing. You got to make yourself different so you're not competing on the same level.
Yeah. Be a little bit different. Yeah, I like that book so far. I'm only like 30-some pages in it, but it's another one of those ones. Like, I hate saying so sentences like that. I worry that it's going to be like when I do books about critical thinking and it lists out all the like cognitive the hell's the word?
Abilities, skill sets.
No, the biases, all the cognitive biases. And it's where there's a list of them, and you're like, oh, I wish I could keep this list on hand all the time, so I'm always like, oh, I'm falling for this one. And it's like this gamification when they start listing stuff out, and it's like this game and this game. It's like, I don't want to fall for that.
Well, the one thing they mentioned is the one game of, like, if you're going to negotiate for money, like, why would you just be a 50-50 slip? That's even. Like, that would just be an easy thing to do. Why be greedy and try and, like, hustle somebody?
Yeah. They also mentioned the... Did you get the part where they're talking about the art gallery guy? He's an artist, and he's got two companies competing to put his work in their gallery, and like he makes them play rock, paper, scissors for it, and like how the different ways you could go with
I'm way past that. That's why you're like artist. I don't remember the artist thing.
Yeah, I'm not that far into it, I guess, but. So far, I like the book.
Well, Jordan Peterson's not like making me think of every other word and trying to figure out how stupid I am.
Yeah, yeah. That was such a weird book because I'd get into like a decent flow every once in a while with it, where I'm just like going through it, and then he'd start throwing these random words out, and I'd be like, "What?" I think I fell asleep actually physically reading that book a couple of times.
It's not even really the words. It's just like it's so fucking dense.
Yeah, it is.
Like at least with this book, I can kind of like I don't know pre-predict what's going to happen. Kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of like follow it. But that's just like, you're always on guard. I'm like, okay, like, it's almost like he goes on a tangent, but he doesn't go on a tangent.
Yeah, yeah. I see that a lot in that book, too. It's fucked up because he'll do like a whole, like, chapter, and it'll just be basically in the Bible. It's like one or two paragraphs, and you're like, dude, how did you pull all this information out of that?
That's what people do.
It's crazy. It's craziness.
My dad, like, I remember when I was a kid about Bible study and stuff, and, like, just sit there going through a few verses, and, like, all this cross-reference to that one verse, I'm like, why?
Did you ever see that graph of all, like, the cross of all the crossing stuff?
I never really looked at it. It's insane.
It's insane all the stuff that they like relate back to each other and forward through the Bible. It's an insane goddamn book. Regardless of if you believe in anything or not, it's still an insane like document.
Well, like so, I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I had the bright idea of downloading my sleep data to try and pinpoint when did my sleep go straight to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the data was kind of fucked up.
When you started this podcast, wasn't it?
No. No, when I was in this podcast, when we started this podcast, I was sleeping like a baby. But, like, I...
When you got a mortgage, that's when it happened.
No, it was before the mortgage, actually.
Huh.
But I got the data, and then Samsung does, like, 10 factors. I'm like, what the fuck are these factors? I'm like, I got an idea. Because they have a list of all the different, like, how long did you sleep, like, how long was it deep sleep, how long were you awake, and all these different stats. So I'm like, okay, pick a date. I gave the numbers. I'm like, correlate these to the factors. It's like, oh, this could be this and this. I'm like, so I got factors 5 and 8 that have 4 different things. I'm like, that's not right. So I went back through more things, and I could not get it to, like, give me a correlation of what was exactly the same. I'm like, this is bullshit. Like, trying to figure out data without a guide is just like, but I do this all day at work. And it's like, this is just skill set, like, and then you have people just look at a graph. I'm like, well, I know the graph's wrong because it's going da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, well, it needs to smooth it down. And you find out, oh, for some reason, the app didn't put the data in the chronological order.
Yeah.
So, like, the AI tried to fix it. I'm like, you're on your own, kid.
Yeah. That sleep's a fucked up thing.
Yeah, but, like, what I was trying to get at was, like, looking at the data for a correlation, like, it's a fucking art. It's not just, oh, anybody can do it.
Yeah. That's not a skill set I have. There's one guy in our group that is like the data visualization guy, and we're kind of screwed if he leaves the company because nobody else does it, and it's like he's so specialized, and it's like, well, do I want to become that guy? And it's like, no, I don't want to step into that role.
No, you don't.
I see an opportunity, but I also see a fucking shit show.
I went to a
mental anguish.
I went to a birthday party last weekend, and I saw a girl from high school I haven't seen like since high school. And she's married, she has a kid, and she has a husband. They both work in healthcare. And, like, they write proposals and whatnot in different areas. And I was talking about how I work in the I'd like to work in the AI. She goes, oh, come to healthcare. I'm like, nope. That is how you get people killed. I do not want that on my conscience.
Mm-mm. we could save 20 cents a patient by enacting this policy.
Yeah, I don't need Luigi coming by door.
Luigi. And I found out that United Healthcare, they just denied thousands of, or they overcharged 1,000 some cancer patients for their medicine by like millions, and it's like, get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. What a shit show operation that is.
So if you had to start over, where would you start?
It'd be small. It'd be small, and then I'd probably have to try and make it grow too. I would make sure I had a focus on not overextending my reach too much. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the things I wish I had done every time I got a raise, was not increase my expenses, which there's a financial rule for what the hell that's called, but yeah. I hate that.
Well, one thing I always think about is, like, the mom-and-pop shops. Like, you want to stay at mom-and-pop shop. You don't want to franchise and get big, because then you, like... I've had this argument for how many years now about the pickles at McDonald's. If we put one less pickle, we'll save $5 million this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Meanwhile, you go down to like a mom and pop shop. Here, have a half pound of fries for $2.
Yeah, yeah. It'd have to be along those lines for me, but it would definitely be get myself a job to be able to keep myself cleaned up and start moving. I mean, there'd be no time for luxuries really, but. I'd have to avoid the continuous homeless threat of falling into the drugs and alcohol trap.
There was a TikTok guy I used to follow back in the beginning. He was he did landscaping. He had a house, but he rented a house. And he lived in the basement. Like, he was building his business, and people kept giving him shit. He's like, dude, I own a house. I'm not living there because, like, it's cheap for me to live in the basement and rent out the house. And he's building his landscaping business. I'm like, well, that's probably what I'd probably do, something like that.
Yeah, just stay small. I mean, that's kind of what Jocko did. He said that his house, like, his whole family slept basically in the living room while they were rebuilding the house. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, if you can do that, I guess. But I wouldn't want to do that with kids and everything.
No agenda. They have a couple guys who would go out and buy land and get a little RV camper. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we'll just live in here until we build the house. That tested a lot of marriages.
I can imagine, yeah. Yeah, we watch on TikTok sometimes, and some people that Mara follows, they're like, oh, this is the tiniest, like, it's an apartment that's smaller than this garage in, like, Manhattan or whatever, mm-hmm. and it's like $2,000 a month, and Mara's like, can you live there would you be able to live there, to knowing, like, you lived in, like, Manhattan in a cool spot or whatever? I'm like, I could live there by myself. Mm-hmm. I couldn't live there with another human being. Like,
if it wasn't $2,000, I could live there.
Yeah, I mean, if I were making enough to cover that rent and, like, there was a reason why I was there.
There's never a reason.
Not anymore. Not anymore there's any reason to live like that. But before, it was like, because you could have the good job and you could have the potential to move up. But mm-hmm. And you just wanted to be in Manhattan, but... The way the world's going now, I don't want to be that close to that many people.
Uh-huh. Well, it's like when the lockdown happened, and you got Brian Brushwood and just Robert Young. Brian Brushwood's like, oh, I got to stay on my 7 acres of property I just bought?
Yeah.
And just like, I can stay in my apartment, and I can go to the roof. Yeah. I think I'm moving to Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah. I think it'd be very, very, very minimalist kind of lifestyle is what I'd try to establish. I would probably also use a library computer and maybe start up some sort of blog or some sort of documentation of my process and let people maybe try to make some income that way. Mm-hmm. Somehow. I don't know how. That'd be weird, though, I guess. How would you get a cell phone besides stealing somebody's?
You need money.
You never watched Reacher, huh?
No.
There's the part where he needs to get a gun. Mm-hmm. So he goes into the church and he talks to the priest there. He's like, hey, I'm new to town. I'm looking for my brother. He fell into drugs and I haven't heard from him in a while. I'm like, and I wondered if you had like an outreach program or something where you might have seen him. And he's like, no, what's his name? And he told him a name. He's like, no, I don't know about that. And he's like, this is an odd question, but do you know who maybe he might be buying from? And the guy gives him the name of drug dealer and that's known. And he's like, you know where that guy's at? And he's like, thanks, Father. And he goes and he sits there and he's waiting for this goddamn drug dealer to like come around and like be set up his spot. And he fucking floors the car, runs over the drug dealer, gets the gun, gets all the drug dealer's cash, throws the drug dealer's drugs all away. Then he goes and he gives the cash back to the priest. But now he's got a gun that's fucking like off the books. And it's just so, like, you could do it that way, I guess.
Yeah, but you gotta stay legal, because you get pulled over for anything stupid.
Well, like, he was already fucking on his
path. I'm saying, like, my buddy and I watch Cops all the time, and, like, these guys will, like, run a stoplight, and then we're gonna search the car. Fuck.
Yeah. last Saturday, I went to that situational awareness seminar, 360 Vigilance, and the guy was telling, he said, what's the number one way to prevent yourself from having a home invasion? People are like, get a dog, you know, security camera. He's like, don't be involved in drugs. Just don't be involved in it. He said, the number one reason why people's homes get invaded is because somebody knows you either have drugs or you have cash in there from drugs. He's like, and I was talking to a homicide detective yesterday at jiu-jitsu, and he was saying that it's usually like the most dangerous job in the world is being the weed man, and not like the big time guys that bring in like crates of stuff. Is the guy's got like 2 pounds of weed in his house, and his parents might not know about it, and they get their front door kicked in and their home invaded. So it's like, stay away from that. And he's like, and you also just don't know, because do you know if your neighbors are involved in drugs? Because like, these drug dealers, they're not, these drug criminals are not super smart, so they don't necessarily write down the information that's told to them. They don't know that, you know, it's not 225 so-and-so street. The house kind of looks like this. It's a red brick building with this, and so they might kick in the wrong door.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
Yeah. He told a story. He said that because he's a SWAT agent, and he was doing narcotics and stuff for a while, but he said the guy that did the situational awareness seminar, he was talking about, he said, the one day his chief came into their little office and said, there's a house in Homestead that we're being told there are huge duffel bags full of cash, probably $13 million, just sitting in the entryway. And he said, there's money coming in and out of that, and we don't know which house it is, but we know which street it is, so go and get some information. And, like, you know, set up the surveillance and start talking to your guys. And he said his partner's like, I said $13 million. He said, I think it's time to ski mask and shotgun up. And his point was like, everyone has a price, and it's like, what's your price? And it's like, yeah, $13 million in a duffel bag might be a price. Sorry, Chief, we only found 10 duffel bags of millions of dollars. Oh, man. But his point was, if the cops know about it, somebody else knows about it. And it's like,
cops are usually the last ones on the list.
Yeah, well, they get their informants, but their informants also talk to other people, and it's a fucking weird situation there. I don't envy them.
No. I like being invisible.
Mm-hmm. The gray man. That's why I don't buy a bunch of gear from 5-Eleven. Did you ever hear see that meme?
No.
Where somebody says, as a joke, they want to go up to people that have all, like, the 5-Eleven and all the tactical gear and say, hey, I'm doing an article for Concealed Carry Magazine. You want to give your testimony? Because it's like, you know, the person's probably got a gun if they're fucking wearing all the gear. Tim Kennedy talks about he can go through a parking lot and he can tell you which cars probably have a gun in them, based off like the stickers and stuff, because people put like their
2A.
Their what?
2A.
Yeah, they'll put that, or they'll put their former Marine sticker on there or something like that, and it's like, there's probably a gun in that glove box.
That's why I love there's no stickers on my car whatsoever. Like, what is this guy about?
Exactly. Like, I took the one for the shooting range I used to go to off of my car, and I took even the jiu-jitsu one off my car. It's like, you don't need to know what I'm about.
It's like that movie, The Rock. Not The Rock, Broken Arrow.
Yeah.
You thought it was a computer. Actually, I'm a Navy SEAL.
Yeah. The one astronaut that was a surgeon that was also a Navy SEAL. It's like, dude, fucking leave some qualifications for the rest of us.
Yeah, so I started using this app.
He's probably the only dude. He's probably the only Asian dude whose parents are proud of him.
No, they're not. don't lie.
You got an A. Why not an A plus?
Why don't you teach a class? Yeah. I got this app called Audio Diary. So basically, it's a diary I think you can record to, but it also has AI built into it. So it summarizes your journal entries.
Nice.
It also does dreams. So I've been having a lot of weird dreams this past week. I've been putting this in. I was like, oh, like I had a dream at a hotel. It's like, oh, you've got a dream. You're dealing with uncertainty, and you're trying to identify this and identify that. I'm like, could be true.
Yeah, I've been trying to use that Welltory app. It doesn't give me too much information, but
you have to link your shit to it.
It is, but it doesn't. Wants me to unlock everything by paying and all this shit. And it's like I'm not paying $100 right off the bat for an app that I might not use. And give me a free trial.
I've been using it for a couple of years now, so it's gotten a lot better now that I have all my shit actually synced to it.
Yeah, does it ever tell you that it's a good day for you? Because it just keeps telling me I'm overstressed and fucking like I need to take a break and like don't make any big decisions. It's like, dude, fucking you're talking to the wrong guy.
Well, that's what I told you the other day. I'm like, do I even know what it feels like to feel okay?
That's why I think at like 40 you should be able to get like a brand new body. how you get like adult teeth.
Well, technically every 7 years you do.
You get like a new part of like a new pinky toe.
Well, supposedly every 7 years your body's replaced every cell in the body.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's not like all at once where you're like, ha ha.
Oh, now you want special.
Hell yeah, I want to fucking be like, ha ha. See, I keep telling you that I want that bath recipe from fucking Wanted.
Uh-huh.
I can come out of that thing feeling like $1,000,000.
I believe it's olive oil, turmeric, cayenne pepper.
Yeah. Just got to get the dosage right.
I've been doing the poor man's Tim Ferriss. Yeah, I was like, what you doing? He goes, like, you know what? Because it came up again. I'm like, I'll give this thing a try. I mixed it up, shot it down. I'm like, well, it's not too bad. And I burped. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that's like I bought the cheap fish oil, mm-hmm. and like I've had some nasty burps from that when I was doing like the more expensive krill oil. So mm-hmm. I got to go back to the krill oil, but I got to finish the bottle first.
What does the krill oil do for you?
It's the same thing as the fish oil. It's just like a different formula. It's like a anti-inflammatory. Okay. It's like it's the good fat for you. It's omega gotcha. Fats and all that.
So the olive oil and the turmeric.
Yeah, it's like it does all that for your brain and your joints and all that.
It's funny. I've been going down this route. I told you about that drink I was playing with. Mm-hmm. I got ChatGPT to make me a logo and everything. Backstory.
Yeah, I've been doing the breakfast oats, the overnight oats, mm-hmm. and I've been putting protein and stuff in that. And when I put it in my tracker, it's like I forget about why I started doing it. And it's like, oh, because this is fucking. Then this small little jar is fucking 50 grams of protein. Mm-hmm. You're like one fourth of the way towards your protein goal for the day. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I bought that ice cream maker. I was reading about like people making protein ice cream, how mm-hmm. you eat it slower, and I'm like, okay, let's give this shit a try.
Nice.
So, yeah. Like I said, with the doctor, and he told me about the whole intermittent fasting. I should eat with an hour of waking up. I'm like, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that seems like it cuts your fast. Like that means you got to fast before you go to sleep, versus like you know going to sleep. If you eat your dinner at like 9 o'clock, well, you get to sleep at like midnight or 1.
Well, that's the thing. If I'm up at 7, eat at 8, then my window is from 8 to 12 or 8 to 1. Hmm. You just skip dinner.
How long's your fast?
16 to 20, depending. Yeah. I mean, I could do 24 if I don't pay attention.
Yeah, I'm just for me, it was always easy to do like a 12 to 14 hour fast because like. Mm-hmm. You sleep and then you just don't eat breakfast and then like.
I was always about 16 to 20 depending.
I'd like to do a fucking like three day fast, but I'd have to send Mara somewhere. She'd be upset with me for that.
I don't know if I don't know if it's really working. I mean, I've seen videos about it, but like, be a lot of juice or just water.
Water with electrolytes.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's I like the idea of doing things like system resets as much as possible, mm-hmm. and I think that's a great one, because that probably like by the end of day three you're probably clear out of a lot of stuff. Your body's probably fucking eating a bunch of fat. Mm-hmm. Probably feel all right. Probably fucking feel like you don't want to eat because all the ketones floating in your system.
I don't know. I like look at my schedule if I can plot out a 3 day thing and not eat.
I mean, it's a 3 day weekend for me.
I mean, what I really need to do is find a really good project, and I don't have to worry about eating.
Let's test your theory. Let's have you wake up in the homeless shelter. I can sell this apple for 25 cents, and no, 25 cents richer.
Produce was worth way more than 25 cents.
Yeah. I guess it depends on the quality of the produce. Mm-hmm. And we're back again because something something.
Yeah.
We had a minor technical difficulty there, so the Apple conversation kind of died. But
we're going to split it before the Apple.
We're just going to split it at the Apple?
Yeah.
Okay. So what the hell were we saying?
We're talking about putting in a homeless shelter.
Oh, yeah. That's the project. Get your life back together. Can you not eat for 3 days during that?
I think I'd rather not eat it for 3 days in the homeless shelter, not know anything but the cooks or the food and anything.
Yeah, but I wonder how hungry you really can get. Just as long as I don't see you on the stopping like at an intersection, holding up traffic with the sign.
Oh no, there's no begging for. Go make real money.
Yeah. There used to be a quote unquote homeless guy. I don't know if he's really homeless or not, but he used to walk around and try to hit people up for money. We called him the Hitman. He would always say, "Got any work a man can do to feed his family?" And then you'd offer him something. He'd say, "Actually, I do." And then he'd say, "Sorry, bum knee," or something like that. It's like, you could be the new Hitman.
That is awesome.
Joel's distracted by work now.
No, I'm actually making my order. I thought that's what you did.
Oh, I didn't. I was just opening my thing for work.
Okay. Well, I think that's everything.
Yeah, well, we probably put in a good work here.
This one doesn't normally take credit cards.
Do they?
It says credit card payment.
Huh. Probably doesn't actually get to that. Probably doesn't let you do it.
It says add debit or credit.
Weird. Yeah. Are you on the Noodlehead website?
Noodlehead.
Or did you go through like one of the services, like Menify or something?
I clicked the button. Clicked the place to order online takeout.
Oh, maybe they finally got with it.
I guess so.
Huh. Maybe they got rid of their ATM. Well, yeah, so we're doing, what's the name of the strategy book, Joel?
Oh, let me go.
It's not The Art of Strategy, I think.
Yes, it is, The Art of Strategy.
Is it? Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, The Art of Strategy. What's mm-hmm. the subtitle?
There is no
subtitle. It should be like How Gamification Something.
But guide to success in the business and life, The Art of Strategy.
Yeah.
The Art of Strategy is technically the sub, but it's bigger, so who knows.
Yeah, the art of Strategy. So far, it's good. We'll report back with more on it. Joel's getting sick of books. He doesn't want to have this be a book report podcast.
No, I'm sick of books. I'm just sick of Jordan Peterson. It was a cascading failure of my life. You know, there's some movie where the guy, like, everything just, like, everything all at once just came up. It's like, hey, your car's on fire. Hey, your mom just died. Hey, your dog just died. Hey, you lost your job. Like, that, all that, like,
yeah.
It's like, enough already.
That's what Goggins is training for. Well, actually, when everything hits the fan, Goggins is going to be like, so what? All right, but that's it for us. We'll be back in probably 2 weeks. We were expecting a polar vortex here, so it might be too cold. Mm-hmm. But we'll do something. Maybe we might have to actually record by calling it in.
That's a possibility.
Then you get to hear the internal sounds of my house as I yell at Archie for knocking things off my desk.
Awesome.
That's it for us, ladies and gentlemen and others. See you next time.
Later.
That wraps up another episode of The Mention the Machine. If you would like to contact or subscribe to the podcast, please visit TheMentionTheMachine.com. If you would like to leave a voicemail, please call 412-294-8557.